Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast, and well done for surviving another week on planet Earth. Coming up on this week's show, what's better than a lion? A bear? Well, that would make an interesting fight, but no, it's mountain lion. We'll take a sneak peek at Mac's new OS.
A baboon.
Possibly. It's what the world's been... hippos, actually. It's what world's been waiting for. It's the Galaxy Tab 2. Seriously. HTC lines up for PlayStation certification. Sounds like some kind of mental state. And the overboard... what? Oh, hoverboard. I've missed an H off. The hoverboard. It's real, kind of. Plus televisual sporting first, the first action replay, the first slow-mo, the first 3D broadcast, the first time Andy Murray won a Grand Slam. Hold on. All that and more with my co-host, the lovely...
But Danny hasn't won one. He hasn't won a Grand Slam.
The lovely Ree Morgan and the man who has his own built-in slow-mo. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. What does that mean?
I don't know.
That's so weak.
It's an essay title, you know, one of those.
Discuss.
Duncan Bell
has his own slow-mo.
Has his own built-in slow-mo. Discuss.
Use examples. They always say that in exams, don't they?
Yeah.
So, Duncan, you know, Rangers bust, Greek bailout delayed, Whitney Houston dead.
Rangers bust.
Yeah. Mm. Football team.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Heard of them?
I thought you meant a Ranger.
God damn it, that ranger, he's well off money.
I thought you were talking about the breasts of a park ranger. Right, oh, never mind.
But what's been happening to you, more importantly?
It has been very depressing, the fact that Rangers have gone bust.
I
do know about that. It's always terrible when a kind of monolithic sectarian organisation runs out of cash. Well, I suppose, to be fair, it's not a sectarian organisation, I'll just make that clear, but there are certain
elements,
strands.
Although
among
I
their
think it's you know, gone way to becoming a family-friendly club.
Yes, true, true. But having said that, anything that annoys that strand of Rangers fans who are kind of Catholic-hating loons is...
this has gone completely a different way.
Where are we going with this?
Oh, but basically because nothing's happened to me this week, because I spent the entire week... I'm still trying to set up... I mentioned this before, didn't I? I'm doing a NAS.
Yeah.
I'm reviewing some NASI. And I know the guy from LG, and I know I was very keen to get a free one, and that's the reason I'm doing this. But I know the guy from LG was like, this is the year that NASI are going to go big. And I don't know. I don't think so. It's a world of pain.
Too much hassle.
I've been sent six of them. I only actually need five. I called in six for some reason. And I've got to the third one so far, and it's now been about 3 weeks. They just take so long to set up and so long to test. They're such a difficult thing to test because you have to... You can't just turn it on and go, press a few buttons, go, okay, that works. Five stars. Or I could, but if I was a less conscientious
journalist. This group test is just going to be two words. Don't bother.
I think it is. I think everything's going to get two stars. It's going to say, yeah, it's fine as NASs go, but you don't need or want a NAS. That's going to be every single review, but like somehow it spooled out to 300 words. It's a shame because I like the idea, but I'm just like, just use your computer as a NAS and plug a hard drive into it with a wire properly as backup, and you're fine. You don't need to do all this kind of like networked drive thing.
Do they look different from each other, or are they all just boxes?
They're all really ugly. I said to
is there a mark for styling?
Yeah.
The lacy one actually looks okay. All the rest of them, I did specifically say to the PRs or the companies, you know, like, it's T3, so I want it to look quite, you know, stylish.
Sexy NAS.
Yeah, so send things sexy. And they were like, oh yeah, we've got something that really, you know, fits the bill. And it arrives.
Look at that blue LED.
Well, they don't even have that. They're just like these hideous black plastic slabs with like, you know, kind of rubbish fans that seem to have been araldited on the back.
Bit of black piano plastic on the front there.
Yeah, they can't even like pull off piano black in a convincing way. It's been a distressing aesthetic nightmare for me.
Okay, so they look as good...
Far worse than the situation of the Greeks, my opinion.
Yeah.
They look as good from the back as they do from the front, which is normally a compliment, but in this case, actually...
It is in the gay world.
Hey!
Yes. No, because they do look worse in the back, because they do have these terrible fans that look like...
Are they noisy?
I've banished them to the... I've got this little room. All new build flats... I don't want to keep on going about my gracious home, but it is beautiful and I have recently moved in. But like all new build flats, for whatever reason, I've got a little cubicle where they keep the washing machine. Oh, I know why. It's because they, for reasons of space, all new flats, they always have the kitchen is also in the front room, because that's a great idea. So I think to reduce noise nuisance, the washing machine is taken out and locked in a small cubicle in the hallway. So I'll put them in there.
Excellent.
Little tip for you there.
Makes sense. There, yeah, that's very good. Very good. I've got a sinking microphone.
Oh, no, do you
have
the
that sinking
one.
Feeling?
Yeah. Yes, I'm all too familiar.
Anyway, on to our top story. And we've had leopard, we've had snow leopard, we've even had lion. So what next for Mac OS X / 10? Mountain Lion, of course, Apple's latest Mac offering, 10.8, has been uncaged for developers and is expected to go public on the App Store in the summer with over 100 new features.
It's a bit... I don't like this new naming convention they've come up with. 'Cause it's like Leopard. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Snow Leopard. What's that? Like lion, you know, King of the Jungle.
Yeah.
Can't get better than that. Mountain Lion. I don't really even know what that is.
Well... Right.
Is that really a lion?
This is my point.
Is it a lynx?
Mountain lion is actually a cougar.
Yeah.
Which is the same thing as a puma, which was macOS 10.1.
Oh, so it's the same as macOS 10.1.
Which is the same thing as a panther, which is macOS 10.3. They're all just the same. It's the same animal.
The same genus.
With different names, just, you know, in different parts of the world.
Oh, right.
It's the same animal.
So this is like a cat with multiple identities.
Basically,
it's
yeah.
Like it's spy
it's also known as the mountain cat, but they haven't named it, given it that lame. They haven't exhausted
mountain
it.
Mountain cat. Yes.
Mac OS mountain cat.
I think baboon would be good. I'd like to see.
They've got to rethink it soon, because they should have realised when they went down this whole, we're going to name it after big cat's way of doing things. There aren't that many breeds of big cat, and they've exhausted it. Well, not exhausted it, but they must be getting towards exhausting it.
Well, yeah, the fact that they've essentially
because they haven't had
the
lynx
same thing
yet.
Three times.
The lynx is the only
be
big
allowed
cat
lynx,
native
they?
To Britain.
Well, yeah, Tari lynx connotations there. Yeah,
and lynx
the
sexist aftershave. The aftershave.
Deodorant, sorry.
Atari went to Jaguar after after lynx, didn't they? That was
have they got Jaguar? They haven't had Jaguar.
Yeah, they've had Jaguar.
Atari
yeah.
did. So they you know,
no, so have Apple.
Jag.
I mean, and again, you know, if you
Tomcat.
Tomcat.
Could have Tomcat.
Tabby. Tabby.
Well, Tomcat
just
might sound
little.
Lame, but there's a fighter.
Siamese? Is that I'm thinking of other breeds.
Burmese.
I'm not really a cat person.
Yeah, no, Tomcat is also a type of like fighter bomber, isn't it? So that sounds quite aggressive, and people are going to like that, I think.
Yeah.
Although it makes me think of like Tomcat, just sort of make you think of like a cat, if it's not, if it's balls lopped off, it like sprays its. Seeds, when I see, but
top,
it's
top cat.
It's just slag of the cat world.
What other cat cartoons are there?
Male slag. Of
they
the
have
world.
They have to get out of this rut, really, don't they? I think that's where we're going with this.
Enough of the pussies already. That's
anyway,
as I often say.
All right, well, now we've covered the most important point. Let's
on to the news.
Yeah, let's find out a little bit more about this new OS from Apple itself. Tip. It borrows a lot from iOS.
By bringing some of the most popular features from iPad and iPhone to Mountain Lion, we're making the Mac better than ever. iMessage has been a huge hit on iPhone and iPad, and Mountain Lion brings it to the Mac with Messages. It lets you send free, unlimited messages from your Mac to anyone on an iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, or on another Mac. Reminders
is
the
idea.
Best way to do to-dos on your iPhone and iPad. And now it's part of Mountain Lion, too. And thanks to iCloud, all your reminders are pushed to all your devices automatically. The Notes app makes it easy to jot down thoughts on iPhone and iPad. With Mountain Lion, it's just as easy on a Mac. You can even tear them out and pin them on your desktop.
Woo!
Notification Center
revolutionary.
Makes it easy to keep up with the notifications on your iPad and iPhone. And now with Mountain Lion, the Mac gets a unified notification center too. New emails, messages, calendar events, reminders, system updates, and even notifications from third-party apps. New notifications appear in the same place on your desktop. Game Center expanded the world of social gaming by connecting millions of users on iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. Now, Game Center is coming to the Mac, so you can play head-to-head and turn-based games between your Mac and an iOS device.
Scrabble.
AirPlay Mirroring lets you wirelessly share whatever's on the screen of your iPad 2 and iPhone 4S to your HDTV using your Apple TV. Now with Mountain Lion, you can do the same thing from your Mac. So that's a sneak peek at Mountain Lion.
Great.
The next release of the world's most advanced desktop operating system.
And we're back in the room.
Brilliant.
Yeah, great.
I'm psyched about that.
That sounded awesome.
You were snoring over the best bit.
Oh, was I?
Yeah.
What, the price?
They shouldn't have had so many boring bits before we got up to that.
Airplane.
I had this thing called Lotus Notes when I first started in...
Lotus, they were a big deal.
Journalism. And in fact, I think it was also built into OS 9. So the ability to put notes on your desktop... Some kind of super modern selling point.
They're synced via the cloud.
They are now synced via the cloud.
So what, you can put a note on your iPhone and it'll
put
go
a note on your iPhone,
on Mountain Lion.
It'll be on your Mountain Lion.
But I don't, it's almost like there's a hierarchy here, because what's the difference between a note and a thing on a to-do list? Like, a note surely is a reminder to do something, so why wouldn't you just put it in your to-do list? What makes a note a note and a to-do a to-do?
Discuss.
These are questions for greater minds.
Use examples. That's true. We can't even think of cats.
Anyway, as I mentioned, one or two mentions of the iPad and the iPhone. In fact, in every feature, we're basically like, "This is, you can do this on your iPad. It's great. Now you can do it on your Mac."
I know. Although
I like the messages. That's the most exciting thing for me. That's a good.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it works with. So obviously works with Apple's messaging, but AIM, Yahoo, Google Talk integrates them all. Very nice. So you don't have to...
But the main thing about... I mean, because obviously, instant messaging to phone is not a new thing. But the difference is that iMessages is more like SMS. It kind of invariably immediately comes up and it's like hardwired into the phone rather than needing to have an app running or what have you. So I like that. But most of the stuff, like they say, it's very good on iPhone. But that's because it is useful on iPhone. But a lot of these things don't sound like they'd be very useful on a desktop computer.
Notification center.
I don't want things popping up all the time on my bloody... I get irritated enough with growl messages coming up saying, "You've just shut down such and such a piece of software." I know, I shut it down.
I guess what's good about it is that at the moment, various pieces of software have various methods of notifying you of things.
But I'm usually happy to wait and just find out. Skype, I don't need to be immediately told.
No, I know, but the programs do it anyway. So Skype will pop up and say something, or someone signs in on something, a little pop-up, all that kind of thing. So if you have that in one place rather than different programs using different methods, that's an improvement.
I could be mistaken, but I think across OS X, you can just make it so the dock just... the icon of the dock will bob up or something. There's already a pretty uniform approach to these things, I think. I think I'm right in saying.
Now
there'll be a circle button on the top right of the screen where you can see all your notifications, or you can use a gesture of two fingers.
That's presumably to get rid of the notification.
You can use a gesture of two fingers sliding from the right edge. There you are.
Great.
That's how you can deal with your notifications.
Good to know.
Game Center. This is good, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so. Hardly revolutionary.
Well, but what's good is that the APK, is that the right? Is that the right phrase? You know, the kit that they give to developers to make
SDK.
Things? SDK, something like that. It'll be the same, so they can develop a game for the iPhone, the iPad, and your Mac.
But again, you've paid loads and loads of money for a really powerful Mac. Why do you want to play Angry Birds and Temple Run? It doesn't make any sense to me.
To be honest,
like, you can play games you play on your iPhone. I wouldn't necessarily want to play it on the desktop.
I paid loads of money for a MacBook Air, but not because it was powerful.
Yeah, but that's just you, Dan. I always buy like a Mac Pro or like top of the range iMac, or I've got my server, or I've got my 9 NASes.
Your quad-core i7.
But all the sort of decent games you can get for Mac, ones that eventually get ported from PC, they all have the manufacturers have their own individual server for playing online.
Okay.
So although Game Bastard, what is it called?
Game Bastard.
Well, not having an I just immediately froze me. Like Game Center, and then it's misspelt, which is irksome because it's American spelling.
C-E-N-T-E-R.
Yeah. What point was I making?
I don't know.
Although it's nice that there might be this one, you just use this one central thing. Actually, again, because that's an Apple thing. If they're like, is that not treading on the toes of the people who develop games and saying, we'd like it all to go through us.
They're not saying you have to do it, but if you're developing...
You know what they're like. They put it there, now it's going to be like...
No. But
we'd rather you didn't use your own servers. I think you just run it through us and give us a load of money for no reason.
More if you're developing a game for the iPad. Here's a really easy way of getting onto a Mac as well. Obviously, that's can't be a bad thing.
Well, I suppose.
Okay.
For users of trackpads, if you've got a laptop, I guess. I suppose maybe my mindset is just completely out of time because I've got an iMac. I've got like a proper computer. So, but nobody really buys desktops anymore, do they? Everybody buys laptops and what have you. So I guess...
Okay.
Maybe.
Once again, I'm a man out of time.
I don't think it's great.
Okay. But yeah, I'm not sold, even.
No.
AirPlay mirroring. This is nice. So you can... anything on your screen, you can send 720p.
This is what we were talking about
last
week.
Can send 720p to Apple TV. So obviously, you know, that's great for films, photos, all those kind of things. But presentations, you know...
No, because you can do that already.
Yeah, but don't naff about with, you know, you just use a TV and bonk. Anything on the screen, bonk on the screen.
Bonk.
Bonk. That's the sound effect it makes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But it needs to be via an Apple TV.
Yeah, you would need Apple.
No, but that's what I mean, because that's not new. Like, screen mirroring of everything, that is new, if that's what indeed this function
is. Yeah.
Exactly that,
But for ages, you've been able to send music, pictures, video.
Yeah. But this is for anything.
Okay, so now you can send even more exciting things, such as
presentations,
PowerPoint presentations.
Look at you working
notes,
on the big TV.
Your to-do list in 1080p splendor, 50 inches across.
Games.
You play Game Center.
Angry Birds.
Actually, games, to be fair, that is.
Yeah,
okay.
That's quite nice.
All right.
Yeah? Yeah?
I'll put my hands up.
You like it?
There is a use for it.
Pricing is TBA. But I've done a calculation here. Lion was £20.99, okay, which is reasonable.
Yep.
But that, when they released that, they said it had 250 new features.
Right. So logically, it should be somewhat less than half the price.
So let's work this out. So that should be...
£10.
Less than
£10.
Under £10.
26.
Yeah.
Under £10. Less than £10.
If it's any more, I'll say it'll be a scandal.
I'm going to be
ombudsman. I will write.
If it's any more.
I will write to
this
Apple.
This is unfair. 250 for £2.99.
This wouldn't have happened under Steve Jobs.
No, exactly.
Oh, you should throw in the SJ word around.
Anyway, should be landing sometime in the summer. I have to confess, I haven't upgraded to Lion.
No, well, I've not heard great things about Lion.
Well, it's got 3 stars on the App Store.
It should be great because it's got all those features and they sound great.
And I know it's only £20 or £21, but I've never got that stage where I've gone, I've got a loose £21 hanging about.
No,
I know what I'll do. You know, it's more like, I could go to the pub with that. You know?
Well, yeah, no, because again, I thought most of the new features in Lion that were sort of derived from iOS or similar to iOS... I just thought, well, I don't really want that on the desktop computer. I don't see the utility of that.
You don't want AirDrop? Launchpad?
No, I don't want Launchpad.
Mission Control?
There's already... It's quite complicated enough as it is, the thing that you use for looking at all your windows at once.
More multi-touch gestures than you can shake a stick at?
Well, no, because no use to me at all, you see.
Full-screen apps?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, man?
Why would I want full-screen apps?
To look at your to-do list. Massive.
But I like being able to see everything else around it.
Mm.
Once again... Behind the curve, Duncan.
I know.
Plenty more where that came from. So let me say, here is the news. Samsung has officially announced the Samsung Galaxy Tab 2 to much rejoicing, with the 7-inch tablet to land running Google's Android 4.0 Ice Cream Sandwich. The newly unveiled Samsung Tab boasts a number of core improvements with a gigahertz dual-core processor and a 7-inch WSVGA display.
Sticking with Samsung, it's also confirmed plans to bring its 55-inch Super OLED TV to the UK.
Boom.
Unveiled at CES 2012, the ultra-slim telly stole the show in Las Vegas with a high-end display crafted from single sheet of glass. It's thought it will land sometime after June as Samsung tries to be better rival.
Freudian slip.
LG's 55-inch OLED market. Is it OLED or LED?
Two market. Impeccable reading there, Ray. That was great.
I learned that.
HTC looks set to add PlayStation certification to future handsets after a slew of Sony-branded Android devices becoming PlayStation certified in 2011. The introduction of HTC to the fold would mark the first cross-brand move from the mobile gaming platform.
Apple CEO Tim Cook has taken a swipe at cheaper tablet rivals such as the Amazon Kindle Fire. Speaking during his keynote speech, he said people feel great when they pay their money, but then they get it home and use it and the joy is gone.
Oh no, you didn't. Oh my god. Ford is unveiling its latest motor at Mobile World Congress, gracing the stage in Barcelona, the B-Max.
Oh.
B-Max?
Is it a phone?
Terrible name.
It's just Betamax. That's terrible. Will be billed as the most technologically advanced small car on the market.
Yes!
The firm's executive chairman will also announce new technologies in a keynote speech on how the tech and automotive industries are becoming more intertwined.
And finally. Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
The hoverboard from Back to the Future is set to enter the realms of reality thanks to toy manufacturer Mattel. The one-in-one movie prop replica will glide over most surfaces.
What?
Whilst multiple whooshing sounds, although it doesn't actually hover. Sorry. Pre-orders open in March.
Do I take it that means you have to pick it up with your hand and then you move it like that and it goes whoosh?
It doesn't actually hover.
But it glides, so it just goes along.
So what they've invented is a skateboard without wheels.
What they've invented is a plastic toy, I assume.
It's like one of those...
Something either hovers or it doesn't. You can't hover. It's like being pregnant.
What are those things that people on a beach, you like surf along the...
A surfboard.
No. Oh, you surf like along the sand.
Yeah, I know what you mean, like right on the edge.
Right on the edge. Like, so there's like a millimetre of water, but you go along. That's basically
wheels,
what it is.
No.
They're like a little wooden board, really planed nicely. And you run along, you chuck it down, and then you jump on top of it, and you skim along.
But other than that, you're skimming along on the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's more like you're...
That's the principle of surfing.
No, skimming along on thin air. It's more like aquaplaning.
Yeah.
Well, that involves water.
Yeah, there is water.
I don't want to be Mr. Science.
But you couldn't
do it. Surfing.
Yeah, you couldn't do it in the middle of the ocean. You'd just sink.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I take your point.
It does need
But what I'm saying
land.
Is that there's like a quite, you know, well-known physics base to that, whereas hovering above the ground
is this is gliding, so it's essentially the same as aquaplaning.
But it's not the same thing, is it? Because obviously it doesn't glide. That's what I'm saying.
To be fair,
obviously it's a toy that you pick up with your hand, and then you go like that.
To be fair, though, the hoverboard in Back to the Future was 2015, so they've got 3 years.
True.
To fit the tech.
Well, there are. I've seen hoverboards in action, but they involve they're based on magnets. They involve obviously. We could have it tomorrow, if only the government would get off its ass and put magnets in every single pavement.
Damn you!
In the country,
come on!
But because this is like can't do Britain, they just sit on their ass going, well, it would be stupid to put magnets in all the pavements because why would you want to do that? And then That's why Britain isn't
great.
We've
got the Olympics this year as well. They would have thought that would be great.
Oh, yeah, like all the dignitaries hovering. Can like hover their way to the stadium.
Maybe they are, you know, secretly.
Maybe.
And they're just going to go, they're going to give people these little boards as they step off the plane to come to the Olympics. Won't tell them what it's for. And gradually they'll work it out. You know,
no, it's only
one person will do it and then everyone will be amazing.
It'll be only the rich people and then all the unemployed people who are being sort of thrown on the scrap heap at the moment. They'll have to do like unpaid work where they basically have to push the fat rich people along on their hoverboards or like pull them on like lengths of rope, like kind of Egyptian slaves. That's what the Olympics is going to be like. Let me tell you, it's going to be a sickening orgy of capitalistic... It's exploitation.
It's a utopian vision. Time to see what you've been tweeting to at T3DOTCEOM and posting on the official T3 Podcast Facebook group. First up, before we start officially, Jamie Ford. I still can't download the podcast on my iPod Touch. Anyone else getting the same? Andrew Smith. Why, oh why, can't I download 220.221 podcasts from iTunes? I could go on. People angry on Twitter too. What is going on?
You ask
what's
us
happening?
This. Basically, the software we have
is rubbish.
Is rubbish. So basically, we're handcuffed by technology. But basically, what it happens is it's meant to go through the RSS feed onto iTunes. Mm-hmm. But what we need to know is, does it have a message that says why you can't? Because some people can download it.
Some people can.
Other people,
some people
can't.
Get a message.
So be good
to
know why.
That's really the problem is being able to repeat what the problem is. Because I can download it fine. Mm-hmm. And some people don't seem to be able to download it directly to their mobile. But I have to say I can do that fine as well. Some people can download it to iTunes but can't. It's like... If you wouldn't mind being helpful, if you can like tweet or whatever saying what system you're using.
Well, people can't.
What software you have.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. I don't know. But the good news is that we are looking into changing the software we use and just using like a normal system, like normal people use, rather than our purpose-built
ridiculous
proprietary system.
Weird system.
Yeah. I think we're just going to bin it, basically, and get one of those free programs on the internet. That seems to do a marvellous job for everyone else.
It's not always ideal, but the get out of jail free, what am I talking about? The workaround is always, you can always get it from the website. Apart from the occasions when you can't. But that hardly ever happens. You can't get it from the website.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're working on it. Is that what you're telling me?
I think it'll be sorted by this time next week.
Oh, God.
Okay. Well,
don't
this
put,
time
don't
next
put
month.
Deadlines on these things.
Okay. No, we have to because we're losing our 5-star rating.
Well,
because people just go, oh, I can't download it, 1 star. which I think is a bit ignorant.
Ooh, it's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Well, they ain't going to hear me slagging them off.
That's true. Right, Duncan, what have you got?
Well, let me tell you.
Yeah.
What have I got? Sperm, apparently. Peter Gilbert says, Rufflery, sell some sperm and make some money. Duncan, can you really? Said in what a great money-making idea sort of voice. Classic. Classic banter.
A moment great. From last week that no one heard.
Yeah.
It was a great, great podcast.
Just Peter.
The six or seven people who could download it have all told me that it's the best, possibly the best podcast we've ever done.
Ever.
So I do apologise to the other 10,000 of you that haven't
you
been able to download it.
You can't even hear it now. You don't even know. It's the same seven people listening to us now. Adam Parton at Adam J. Part. I just heard a Skype user sign-in noise, yet my Skype is logged out and not even launched. Did someone on the @t3.com podcast have Skype open, Dan?
Look. Yes. Okay. No, because Beep. Here's the explanation. No, here, right. Okay. Basically, I always run everything from the laptop, all the little noises you hear, you know.
You look crazy.
All that. Normally, it's because we've got terrible, hideous Wi-Fi that they change the password on every day here. It's never signed onto the internet. But I tethered it to my phone and forgot to untether it. So it was connected to the internet. So every time someone signed in and out of Skype, it was like bloop.
Yeah.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Yeah.
But if you were being professional, you would have turned off Skype anyway.
Well,
to avoid that eventuality.
See, I did. That
eventualizing.
But then I realized we've got these bloop, bloop, bloop on there. So I asked Liam, I said, Liam, can you take off those little bits? And he said, yes, Dan, I will.
Don't blame
I give
Liam.
You. I give you my solemn word.
So it's the producer's fault, is what you're saying. It's basically, not your fault.
Basically.
It's Liam, the producer.
He's getting up from his chair now.
George Sang, happy Valentine's Day to Ree Morgan.
Oh, thank you.
He's missed the end of the rest of us off.
Presumably he ran out of characters. Was this on Twitter?
No, that was on the Facebook group. He's got unlimited
characters. And he spelled my name right.
Well done. Yeah, he's giving you the full Rianne Morgan.
Rianne.
good.
Gareth Sullivan asks, is there more to life than Apple? To which Katie Heath replies, yes, women. Simon White, where can I buy one of these women? Katie Heath does point out, Apple is a lot less problematic than my girlfriend. To which Hello You Creatives replies, have you tried turning her off and on again?
They're a cosmopolitan bunch, our listeners.
That's what I love our Facebook group for. You know, it's these highbrow conversations.
The same kind of quality banter that we have here is reflected on the...
We're all one big happy family. Yeah. You know, anyway, we're all the same way.
Please join us, you know. We've been bobbing around like 200, 210 for a long time. And there's a lot more of you who actually listen, you know.
On the occasions you can.
And they're a very friendly bunch on there.
It's so, very nice. Yeah. We even had a drunk post the other day.
Every now and then you get like a 2 a.m. one.
It's all about actually feel loved, don't you? Yeah. Like they're drunk. They've thought about the T3 podcast. They've thought about
nice.
Their little
it's
clique.
Lovely.
It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's always that bit where you wake up the next morning. Oh, what did they do?
Did I really wish a happy Valentine's Day to Rianne Morgan last night?
And not Duncan and Dan? Oh. Yeah, you see?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, you did mention
us. See the consequences?
Mm. That is a bit...
So anyway,
You were disgusted by the fact that he wished me happy Valentine's Day, not the fact...
Some people could see it as a bit creepy, but I'm sure George is like a well-adjusted chap.
There we are. Hop onto Facebook, have a look for us. It's the official T3 podcast Facebook group. We're very easy to
find.
Don't
go to the unofficial one.
Sign up. We'll approve you. We approve everyone, but we feel it gives it like a kind of a certain kudos if you have to be approved. Yes, sign up. Do it now. Now then. What we got wrong on the T3 podcast last week. Oh dear, this is becoming a bit of a thing. Last week...
Well, I know what this one is.
We may have said this.
The quad core in the iPhone 4S does allow video mirroring. So you can have much more straightforward kind of wireless sort of what's on the tablet then appears on the big screen.
Oh, yeah.
Which is useful in the home, I guess, to an extent for watching video and things, but also in education.
On the iPad
for...
2 now. You can do mirroring on the iPad 2 now. But
you have to plug it in with a cable.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Nathan Dunn, You can use wireless AirPlay mirroring without a HDMI cable. The only thing is you need an Apple TV with an iPad 2 or iPhone 4S. Bring on the jingle!
What we got from the T3 podcast last week.
Bruno Pinto and the iPhone 4S has a dual-core processor, not a quad-core like Duncan said.
What we got from the T3 podcast last week.
Yes. Somebody pointed that out to me at the weekend. I don't know why I thought it had a quad-core. I think it's just because I'm so futuristic.
You're ahead of the curve when it comes to processors.
You're ahead, you're behind.
I think it's because, I don't know, I can't really come up with a rational excuse for it. Except it always used to be the case that the iPhone always had the slightly more sort of next generation technology because of the time of the year that it was released, or because its competitors were a bit behind or waiting to see what Apple did. But that no longer is the case. So maybe I was thinking back to those days. Again, I'm behind the curve, but I was thinking back to those days when Apple always had cutting edge stuff in their phones.
The thing is, Rhea and I don't really escape here because we just sort of nodded sagely as you said.
I was going to say, as ever. I can't entirely take the reference. It's not like you were like,
oh, yeah, it's the
what the hell are you talking about, Duncan? Yeah. There is no phone available yet. It's got a quad core processor, least of all the iPhone.
Although they have been promised.
Yeah.
For, there's definitely going to be some at Mobile World Congress.
Mm. There you are. But not from Apple.
No,
because they never turn up.
But yeah, so okay. The iPad 2 and the iPhone 4S both have dual-core processors, and that's what's required for wireless mirroring. That's what I was trying to say. I just multiplied it by two, because I'm...
Like that.
You're just optimistic.
I like everything multiplied by two.
Yeah. You're a glass half full
or squared
kind of guy.
No, my glass is doubly overfilled.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Right. What have we got for our gadget of the week?
You've got to turn around.
Rhea is revolving very much like the dartboard on
Bullseye.
Bullseye. Yeah, we've got the time it takes for Rhea to revolve to this. Oh my God!
Smashing super lovely great. Let's have a look
at
what
this is. The best thing you've ever brought.
Yeah, I know.
That's the binoculars from Star Wars.
I saw these on Something for the Weekend.
Yeah,
Rhea, thank you.
Sony 3D binoculars.
This is amazing.
They're 3D as well.
Yeah, they're 3D.
That's what basically Luke Skywalker
Dev 5, they're called.
Uses at the start of Star Wars, isn't it?
It might not be charged, so I've just ruined it.
Oh, no, my eyes are too wide for them.
Oh. But yeah, so they record...
They don't swing out like my Carl Zeiss ones. Can you not...
No, you can't.
I can. Yeah, you can. Look, there's a little... they've thought of everything. Right, I'm just...
What's the hot shoe on the top for? Them. Putting a
that's
flash
for a
on.
Light.
Video light.
You can put a light, video light.
So if you're monitoring something half a mile
you can
away,
record
right,
full HD.
I just shouted over everything you said. So while I'm playing with them, you describe what this is.
So they are 3D glasses. So you can view real life in 3D. So you can look through them.
I've been waiting for that my entire
and it's
life.
3D. It turns 2D into 3D. You can record in full HD on them. They've got a ridiculous zoom, which is
just on a point of order,
20 times zoom, and they are massive.
Can I just say this is the first time I've ever put a pair of binoculars to my eyes and has an on-screen warning message. So it says, Sony recommends that all viewers take regular breaks while viewing images through this device. For your comfortable viewing, please read the instruction materials accompanying this device carefully to ensure correct usage.
How can you see anything through that?
I'm going to delete that.
So it records in 1280, 1920 by 1280, but you
1080.
Yeah, sorry. Done that wrong again.
And also, technically, they're 3D binoculars, not 3D glasses.
Yeah, they're
other
3D
than that,
binoculars.
A perfect description.
Sorry,
well
3D
done.
Binoculars.
What do I look like in 3D, Dan? Can you see me pointing at I'm pointing at the camera like this, so it should be coming at you.
Can you see? You can see the 3D. You can turn
3D.
The 3D on and off.
Oh, and then I'll only be in 2D.
Yeah.
Right. So that's that. Right. So, okay. 2D, 3D. Right,
yeah.
See,
shouldn't we have filmed this outside where we can see further than.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you can see Liam.
You are totally in 3D. This is awesome.
So I think...
I'm going to live my life through these now, from now on.
I think the best thing, if you took them to the cinema and watched a 2D film, it would be in 3D.
I suppose it would, logically, yeah.
I'm now zoomed in on Liam's eyes. I'm looking deep into his soul in 3D.
We used them in the office the other day and we looked in the flats opposite the office and then waving at us.
I'll just describe the sensation. So it's like looking through binoculars normally, but it's on a screen and it's all in 3D. So you can film with these, presumably.
Yes, you can film with them. Yeah.
Oh, right. So can we do a film and post
How much zoom has it got in it?
20 times zoom.
20 times.
Seamless zoom in 3D mode.
Right, I'm gonna do a little
pretty
video.
Awesome.
Pretty awesome.
What does a futuristic thing such as this retail for?
Retails for £2,000.
Oh, ouch.
Okay. It's not got a memory card in.
So you can't record.
Oh,
they think of everything at
Sony,
don't they?
This is a pretty sophisticated thing because it's got...
It is. It's got for £2,000.
For video recording, it's got headphones and mic in, which is missing from most camcorders. Films in 3D.
Not from most camcorders that cost £2,000, to be fair.
10 times zoom.
It's 10 times optical and 10 times digital, I think it is.
Right, and they're £2,000.
Yes, £2,000. Mm. Yeah.
Very cool, though.
It's got GPS, optical steady shot... Quite heavy,
and they're Sony G lenses as well, which are the really high end.
Yeah,
Sony
it's
lenses.
A pretty high end bit of kit.
I think this is the coolest thing I've seen this year. I mean, it's you have to kind of question the usefulness.
You have to turn it on as well, Duncan. Actually, sorry about that. Turn it off.
Everything about it looks great.
That's when I dream of gadgets. That's the sort of useless yet brilliant gadget I dream of.
That's the thing, because I'm not convinced about the form. Like the whole, if it's meant to be a camera. It is like a pair of binoculars in every way, apart from the fact that it records.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably a reason why people have never made camcorders
in
the same way that they make binoculars.
Yeah, you could probably just buy a 3D camcorder with a 10x zoom and be done with it. Or buy a pair of binoculars, which are normal binoculars, which inherently are 3D.
But the quality is great. I love that.
Yeah.
Can we get a free one?
Thanks.
I bet we can. It's the sort of thing that's expensive if you're a punter.
Yeah.
But they give away like candy to journalists because nobody wants
Can't
to buy it
that.
Because it's so expensive.
So we're all getting one of those. Is that what you're saying, Green?
Yeah.
And we can all sit here every week with
and
them straps to
with
our
strap.
Heads.
It comes with a strap as well. So you can walk around with them.
That's the best thing you can say about it. It comes with a strap.
It is the size almost.
That'd be whacking you in the solar plexus as you walk along. I'm not sure I'd fancy having that.
That's
right,
fantastic.
There we are.
You've surpassed yourself.
Oh my God. Yes! It's amazing. The Xbox 720 thing, it's all forgiven. I plugged some headphones into my phone the other day because my car kit is gone wonky, so I had to buy a little crappy one. So I plugged it in and randomly it started playing all the music that's on my phone. And I don't really use my phone as a music device. So I think it has like the bog standard tracks that are on there, which are quite amusing. And then some recording I made in the car, you know, when you note to self.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
one
yeah.
of those came up.
And then
idea for TV series.
And then a really random podcast. And it was the Xbox 720 podcast. It was brilliant. I recommend it. Go back and listen to that one. What a great podcast.
What number was it?
191. It was when we were still trying to get you to be Gadget Personality of the Year. I think it is 191. That's my recommendation for this week. Big sporting occasions and tech have always gone hand in hand, like the high-tech drugs cyclists are always taking. But now, with the introduction of 1,000 frame per second slow-mos, which is ridiculous. How to view 1 second, it'll take...
That's
forever.
Ridiculous.
It'll take 1,000 seconds.
I say it's 25 frames per second. That's it's going to take for 100. It'll take 4 seconds. 40 seconds to view 1 second of footage.
Well, I'm finding this riveting. I hope everybody's.
I'm just saying.
I hope everybody at home's enjoying this as well.
T3 has been looking at some great. T3 has been looking at some great sporting tech firsts. So quiz time, everyone.
Yep.
You can play this at home as well. it's becoming a regular. Right. Okay. I'll give it. So, for instance, if I said to you, the first instant replay. Okay, that was 1963.
Right.
It was used by CBS during America's annual Army Navy College football game.
Mm. As long as it was something important.
Yeah. You think that they would go with something better than that just to do the first one? But anyway, so 1963, first instant replay for the Army Navy college football game. So that's your kind of watermark. All right. So if I said to you, when were the Olympics first televised?
Do you mean televised or do you mean filmed and then subsequently shown? Do you mean live televised?
I mean shown on television.
In the 30s? No?
Mm. I'll have to push you for a year here.
No, hold on.
Well, it has to be 36, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
36 is bang on. Bang on. It was the Summer Olympics in Berlin, but only to local audiences.
I knew that because they did... Yeah. Was that when they did the Jesse like a, James? No, was it Jesse
Yeah, I know. They filmed lots of them. But
Is it? What?
Oh, dear.
Do you mean Jesse Owens?
Yeah, sorry.
Jesse Owens did not give a black power salute at the 1936 Olympic Games.
That was like three
when
things
that?
Conflagrated in one.
There was a lot of saluting with arms in the air at the 1936 Olympic Games.
Yeah, that's right.
But it wasn't black power.
For different reasons.
That's good. So the Nazis, it was an incredibly evil regime that brought destruction to the world.
They televised
the Olympics.
You
know, so, you know.
Bringing joy to... Well, the local audience that was able to view it.
Well, I guess not, because they kept on losing at things, or at least in the sprints.
1956, Winter Olympics was the first to be broadcast internationally.
And nobody watched it, same as now.
Quite importantly, Snooker in Colour.
David Attenborough introduced that.
So when was that?
That was one of the many things that David Attenborough has brought
70s?
To the world.
That's true, actually, yeah.
Because he was the first DG of BBC Two.
Yeah, he was the controller of BBC Two.
So when was that?
For those watching in black and white, red is the...
Yeah, that one. I mean, I'm colourblind, so it looks pretty much like that to me anyway.
Is it the 70s?
Yeah, you're close. 1969.
I was going to say 68.
You were right. It was David Attenborough. He brought it in. Okay, last one then. This is a good one. Stump cameras. You know, for the cricket?
I thought you meant for the Paralympics.
that's bad. What did we do before stump cam, hey?
The great thing about stump cams is before that we had stump mics. And before anybody had realised that cricketers aren't all gentlemen, you got treated as a child every night to a barrage of foul language from bowlers who just bowled a bad ball, or batsmen who'd just been given out.
Yeah. I'm going to say the 80s.
It was probably when it moved to Channel 4, and that was... when was that? Like 96 or something?
No, but 92 actually.
Ah.
Which is actually the same year. I can't believe this, that score lines were added. So when Sky got the Premier League football rights,
they started showing it all the time.
Took the revolutionary step, yeah. Of
and people didn't
just
like
putting
it.
The score in the top corner.
I bet with a few exceptions, every single one of these things, people at the time were like, this is going to ruin the sport.
Yeah.
Like, even the instant replay thing, I bet people were like, it used to be great when you didn't know what had just happened, because it made it seemed more real and exciting.
Hundreds of people
complained.
This
is a rubbish idea.
Hundreds of people complained that it ruined the game.
My God. What, having the score at the top ruined the game?
I have no idea, but they used to like pop up every now and
then. It was in letters 26 inches tall, to be fair, in a very thick font. But over the years, the technology's moved on, and now you can have it in quite a narrow font and in quite small size.
I see.
It's not as bad as America, where they've got a sponsor in the corner as well. And every now and then, the thing enlarges to show a little bit more, or maybe the next programme coming up has a little graphic that pops up.
I think, to be fair, we have that over here these days as well.
It's not as bad. We don't have this quarter sponsor. It's soccer. It's football. We don't have quarters. This quarter sponsored by Canon.
When I went to America, someone called the goal the onion bag. Right in the back of the onion bag.
Oh, that's dreadful. Stop that.
We're doing the anti-American thing.
Sorry.
We love our American.
This game, like soccer, America. Is for the boys. That's what they say.
Oh dear, that's about all for this week. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves and on your tablet, and we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week then, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.